phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl Bott, and welcome to the show. It's a beautiful Friday. It's not raining. It's not snowing. It's a little cold. And I just got to watch Patrick Jones come sliding through the door, as usual.
Skidding.
We'll get to him in a couple of minutes here. First of all, I'd like to introduce my producer, Kelly Frost, Jr. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Carl. How are you doing?
Fine. You got a little rant going on this morning?
The credit card, they're trying to raise my rate, and I've never been late at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to talk about credit cards tomorrow for a while on Free Fire Saturday, one of our last shows there, but also on Monday. We're going to have a show talking about credit cards. We're going to talk about this big three bailout. Is it good? Is it bad? What's it do for the country? What's it do to our local businesses around here with, you know, having some, you know, at least having some stability back into the big three auto makers, which plays, a lot of taxes come out of our car builders, lots around here. And those are some of the things we're going to talk to with our guests. But also want to introduce my soulmate and helpmate, Linda Bott.
Well, good morning. Okay, so I've got one name that's on the tip of my lips. Is that what you say, tip?
No, tip of your tongue.
Tip of my tongue, end of my lips. But you know, it could be tip of my lips, all right?
Okay.
You know, I
got to
switch it up.
Right.
Simonas.
Okay.
Tree Lot.
Okay.
Love their trees. Love their service. And we just want to give a good, a big old shout out and kudos to their professionalism.
Yeah, you know what?
First class trees.
You know, we didn't get free trees. We didn't do anything like that. But you know, one of the things we really like to do in this town is if we have good service from people, we like to talk about it. Hey, look, you know, they treat us. They don't know who we are. We get good service from people. You know, people do that extra little bit of effort. This is a great way for us to thank them and to let you all know that, hey, they really did do this for us. Then they'll probably do it for you too. You know, and it could be anything from getting your tires rotated, which we have done. You know, I mean, just people just doing nice things around here. So
returning
your wallet. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, there's good things going on out there in North State. You know, yes, we're right in the middle of, gosh, budget crises in the state, the county, the city. We're in the middle of transitioning from one administration to another. And I tell you what, President-elect Obama, and we're going to be talking a lot about that tomorrow too, he's got his hands full. The Russians are pushing him already. They are pushing him. They're working him. You know, first they come into Venezuela off the coast here with their Navy. Now they're going to Cuba. And there's going to be some weapons things going on there. I tell you what, they're getting ready.
But now, you know what's in the news? The big thing in the news with Obama is who he's selected to give the prayer for his invocation.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that, too. But our guest today is Councilman Patrick Jones.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Thank you, guys.
Well, you know, we're trying to do this we're trying to get as many of y'all on here as we can in this week so we can talk about all the things that are going on. But first, you know, we've got to take a quick break here. So this was Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side.
Good morning, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's 39 degrees outside, 814. Vice Mayor.
Thank you. Carl called me a council member, and I just had to correct him there a little bit ago, but that's all right. We'll let him slide this time. I came in a little bit late, so we're even now.
So it's an even spanking.
No, we're never even. And speaking of that, how come you raised the utility rates?
Well, that's thanks. Just start right off with me. That's great.
Oh, would you want me to start easier? You've had a bad week, haven't you, Patrick?
This has been one of those weeks where you'd like to have been out of town, but nope. Well, the reality is that the cost of purchasing electricity is going up. It's continuing to go up. The things that have been in place over the last few years are no longer there, and you know, I I'm the first person that would really like to look at trying to reduce our rates as opposed to raising the rates. But the reality is when you dig in to the electric utility and you see what we have to work with today and the escalating costs of power in the United States, it is a very difficult job to try to contain rates. And, in fact, we are not able to contain rates. And I, to be honest, I do not have an answer for that. We have looked and we have looked. Our utility department is ran very well, and I think it's one of our best departments in the city of Reading. They do an excellent job. They work hard to keep our rates low. We do have the second lowest rates in California. That's an impressive number considering all that we have to do today and all the regulations that we have to adhere to and the green energy that we have to buy into. And so, you know, I'm disappointed because we have to raise rates. Nobody wants to do that. I don't know of a single council member that wants to raise rates, but yet we are forced to. And I'm willing, if there are some real solutions, to listen. And we have some of the best experts in our department working on that, and we're going to continue to try. But I don't have the answer of how to reduce rates today.
Well, you know, I think that you know, part of it. You know, some of it, we have nothing to say about it. There's nothing that Reading, the county, or even the state can do about it. But some of these things that were because of, well, I say the state could do things about it, but they are, they've got their heads so far up their butts that we're lucky if anything happens with them. And you know what? That's the other thing we're going to talk about tomorrow is the state project. But one of our, let's go to the phones because somebody's got a, you know, the phone lines are already lit up and they're talking about things that we wanted to ask you. DC, good morning.
I'm just curious about these bridges and stuff. Isn't the money already in a pot to do this? Why would they have to stop and what they pay these things as they go? I thought they got the money and we build the damn things and then they do it.
Well, apparently not so. And you know, the state runs their boat a little bit differently than the way we would at City Hall. And you know, it's a pretty serious issue right now when we're 28 million or possibly even as much as $40 billion in the hole on the state level. Some of these bridges could be in jeopardy, and you know, it's a pretty serious issue for us considering we have several bridge contracts going on right now.
So also, I thought these things had federal money.
State and federal money in, you know, in, depending on which bridge construction we're talking about, and multiple bridges going on at the same time.
Right.
But, you know, and I'm not an expert on the state's budget and their state of the affairs, but, you know, obviously pretty serious when the budget is such that they can't move forward and we may have to prolong.
You know, there's consternation, and you know, when we started working on all the bridges at the same time. Now, I realized that was brought on because you get a pot of money all at the same time to start doing things, but and nobody maybe foresaw the fact we're having these, you know, these economic problems. But if they have to stop working on these bridges, Patrick, that means we're going to have, well, I mean, what happens then? We all going down at one lane?
Well, I have a boat for sale, and no.
Speaking of the bridge, can we just, you know, a little sidebar here? Cypress Bridge, there is a new, what's that called? What do we call it again?
Merge.
A merge. Have you seen the merge on Cypress? Be careful. It's right where Athens is. Anyway.
Okay, DC, what else you got?
Well, that's it. I just don't understand. You know, I thought the money was already there, so we build them, and it looks like it's pay as you go, which is a pretty Mickey Mouse way to do things. But anyway, thank you.
You bet. You know, DC, you're right. You know, this thing is that we're going to build bridges, so we tear the bridges up, and then the money goes away. Hello, is anybody thinking about that? I mean, but the city doesn't have really anything to do with that one, though, Patrick.
Yeah, very little. You know, on that particular project, 88% of that was you know, coming from the state and the federal government, and we only covered the rest with our traffic impact fees. So, you know, it was a pretty good deal for us to have a new bridge, wider. Up to code, you know, so the city really took advantage of that opportunity, and the funding had never been that high before. So, you know, it was a great opportunity for us to get this long-awaited project moving forward. And, of course, now it is in jeopardy, and we'll have to wait and see how the state budget finishes up here.
Well, we've got some representatives up there, Sam Anistad and Nielsen, so I tell you what, they're going to be hearing a few things. Hey, look, we've got to take a quick break. The phone lines are all lit up. We're going to be talking electrical rates. We're going to be talking the budget cuts. We're going to be talking a lot of things. Patrick Jones, Vice Mayor of Redding's here. So join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Bunt. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Morning. Hey,
good morning.
I sat in on both the meetings, both the council meeting and the one before on the electrical department, and I noticed that with the electric department, the nice PowerPoint presentation to you guys, but they seem to leave, you know, a few negative items out for the public or for you guys to make your decision. I noticed that the first year it'll be the 7.8% increase, you know, and they show the $7, you know, and the $90 that we're going to all have to pay. But they seem to, you know, disregard or seem to forget the second year it's going to be $14, you know, and to put that before you guys. Plus, you know, they intend to also raise the reading of the meters, too, as well, but they don't seem to give that to you guys as well to make your decisions.
Yeah, the raising of the service rates came up yesterday where they're raising not just the electrical, you know, the rate for reading electric meters, but also the water, and it's done by the same time.
And I noticed they don't have to run that before you because it's considered a fee, so I guess they don't have to run that before you. They just go ahead and just put it in and build it in, and since the nightmare's happening, we might as well throw that in, too, and we're, you know, they don't seem to be presenting that to you, what their intent is later.
Well, I mean, it's the part of the problem here, and again, I know the frustration of everyone because who wants their rates to go up? It's essentially costing every household more money in a tough economic time, and could we prolong these rate increases or could we reduce the rates? And the bottom line today is that our costs are increasing. Things are getting more expensive, and we've met each of the council members and Vice Mayor, myself, and the mayor have met with the folks over at, you know, the utility department, and we've gone through in detail any opportunities to save money. And the bottom line is things are costing more, and it's very unfortunate that we have to raise rates.
But once again, they said that the infrastructure is being paid for in this, and they showed their nice pie thing. Very good presentation, you know, for everybody to see. And you know, I bought into it too, but getting afterwards, listening to this and what their intent is, you know, that now they're raising the meter rates, and their explanation is to basically pay for the infrastructure and everything else. Well, they've already gotten it on the increase, so why are they bringing up the, you know, the meter rates too as well, increasing those?
Well, you know, even on a 7.85 increase in the rates, our reserves are actually continuing to be reduced, and you saw that from the presentation. And in fact, next year, and again, we're going to raise those rates again, 7.85, which we voted to do thereafter.
Which makes it 14.
Which will be compounded, so it will be higher.
And, right, and but they seem to leave that out, you know, on that part for the decision part. But the part about raising the meter rates, they're saying that the infrastructure and everything has to be paid for and stuff, and they show their nice pie and the whole bit. But then they turn around here and say, well, we're going to raise the meter rates, too, for reading the meter. And why the meter rates? Because we've laid off these guys and stuff. They're not increasing their wages. But then, yet we're going to increase that to pay for the infrastructure. But they've already done it already, getting their 7.8% increase.
Well,
that's part of the you know, the plan.
Well, but I don't know anybody in the electric utility that has gotten laid off, and their wage.
But they haven't had any wage increases either.
Well, they in their last contract, I'd have to take a look at that, and we're in negotiations right now as we speak. A lot of these things are projected, and the city is doing the best that we can to try to contain our rates. Again, we have the second lowest rates in the state. That's an impressive number. We would like to be the number one least expensive rates in the state, and we're working on that. But the bottom line is that costs, many of these costs are out of our control. For example, as you knew in the presentation, the hydro is a serious issue, and we had projected a medium hydro year. We did not get that. In fact, 2 years in a row, we got very low hydro years, which have created a huge offset, and that is affecting the rates. And the reality is, if we don't get improved hydro in the next year and 2 years, we're going to see increased rate.
That part I understood myself. I mean, the rates are one thing. But raising the meter rates is another thing, and they have the power to do that on their own without running that past you guys, it seems.
And I'll check into that, and I'm not as sure on that, but I will double check in on that.
You know, Greg, it's a good thing. It was raised yesterday, and it should be opened up again today because Mr. Hoosier yesterday, what he said was, hey, you know, that's just a cost of doing business. Everything's gone up.
That wasn't mentioned at the meeting.
Right, and you're absolutely right, and that was the lady that brought it up yesterday, that was great because you're right, it was not mentioned. That was just all kind of like part of it. And now we've got the vice mayor is going to look into it. So that was, you know, I think your phone call has achieved something here.
Okay. All right.
Thanks so much.
Continue on.
Thanks. Vice mayor. Does that mean vice mayor? Does vice have anything to do with that? I mean, I saw where the adult store was broken into the other day.
No, I have nothing.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure.
No knowledge of any of those things. No, it's every year the council votes to go from a council member to a vice mayor to a mayor. Mayor Bozzetti this year is doing an excellent job so far in a tough economical year, and we'll vote in December of next year, and we'll see what happens from there.
Okay, you know what? Speaking of Mayor Bozzetti, he will be on our show next Wednesday, December 24th, along with Kurt Starman, the city manager, to be able to answer these.
You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott and Vice Mayor Patrick Jones. 39 degrees, time is 8:28. We're going to take a hard break. Listen to ABC News. We'll see you on the other side.
Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our guest today is Vice Mayor, used to be City Councilman, Patrick Jones. Hey, Vice Mayor.
Yes, sir.
What the heck's going on with the budget?
Well, you know, this has been a tough week. Not only did we have, the discussion about rate increases, and we did so, but we also had, on Monday, we had to fill a $3 million gap. And, that's pretty tough to do because we're cutting jobs at City Hall and some programs to make up for this $3.2 million gap, and that's a tough thing to do. I was most concerned about the loss of three firefighters. That really concerned me, and I listened to the public, and it really felt strong to me that both public safety in the way of police and fire, that we should try to do what we could to spare those positions. Again, facing a $3 million reduction, it's a little tough to do. And while I cannot speak for the rest of the council, I speak for myself, I was prepared and made a motion to make some cuts in some other non-departments to find some funding, essentially reduce some funding in some other areas to support the fire and to support as many of those police positions as we could. My motion to reduce Turtle Bay's funding from $100,000 to $200,000 and to reduce some of our art and public places funding, that motion failed, lack of a second. Essentially, at the end of the day, the three firefighter positions were cut. The boat program for the fire department was cut. Funding for Turtle Bay was enhanced. Why was that, though? A motion was made. Brought up that the boat program that the fire department has is it's a good program. We'd like to have it, but facing the challenge of cutting three firefighters, I was willing to cut that boat program in its entirety to help put that $100,000 towards saving those three firefighter jobs, and I thought that would be a fair thing to do. With that boat program gone, the extra $100,000 then would be available to use elsewhere in the budget. Unfortunately, my motion to use it towards the firefighters failed, and the other motion to get Turtle Bay and the EDC more money, that was approved.
Does Turtle Bay make that much money for us? Well, Turtle Bay, if it does, why come we can't keep a couple extra firefighters?
You know, don't get me wrong. Turtle Bay is a great organization. They do wonderful things for our city, and they have certainly brought people to Reading and have put some tax dollars here in Reading economy. So it's a good organization. But these are tough economical times, and my ideas about Turtle Bay over the last few years is that each year we need to wean them from the city subsidies and get them to run on their own. And I believe they can. I know they can. They have good leadership, and I believe they can. But when faced with the opportunity or the faced with the challenge of cutting three firefighters and cutting Turtle Bay's funding, to me, I would have rather cut Turtle Bay's funding to try to get some of that money over to keep those firefighters. Now, you know, that that doesn't mean that Turtle Bay doesn't do a good job. You know, it just simply means that we have so much tax dollars, we have to make $3 million cut, and where do we do that? And obviously, the council, you know, decided ultimately that the three firefighters needed to go at this time. And again, it's a tough decision. I'm not saying any of us had an easy decision. Cutting $3 million out of the budget, laying off police and fire is a very tough thing to do.
Now, the police, would understand, those were six positions that were already open. But then, you know, so they're not going to be filled. But I understand also that's going to have an impact on the Riverwalk and all these other places, because now we don't have any patrols down there, which just told all the bad guys, hey, there's not going to be any police down there.
It's true. Those positions were going to be lost through attrition. They normally would have simply have been replaced. But again, at least these people weren't losing their jobs. They are retiring. We are doing some changing around. But I still felt that we could still save even one or two of those positions with some other budget manipulation on some of the other areas. And to give an example, some of the things that I wanted to cut was the, you know, reduction in the Shasta Arts Council funding, Turtle Bay, of course, and the reduction in public art funding, and also the Youth Action Council. And these are all good programs that we have. I'm not arguing that at all. They're very good programs, but in tough economical times, laying off firefighters and police officers is just really hard for me to do, and I was willing to make those tough decisions, and you know, and my motion did not move forward.
Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. This is Mike Brockman from the Shasta County Sportsmen's Association.
Good morning, Mike. Good to see you again. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a moment to thank you both while I had you together for your support for our veterans shoot that we had this year, and Carl, for your publicizing it, and Patrick, for your donations. We really appreciate it. We had a great time, and it was a very successful shoot. We're planning on doing it again next year.
Did was it true that the Marine Corps guys did the worst out of all of them, or was that just a rumor?
Well, I can't really. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Or make
it's because, feel bad, because the Marines were shooting with pistols, and everybody else was using shotguns.
We had the Marines against the Army out there. It was quite a battle, but...
you know, we'd like to thank you, Mike, for putting this on. You know, we're very veteran supportive here at our station, and especially on this show. And what you all did to help our disabled veterans get out there and, you know, start hunting again was just outstanding. If there's anything we can do, we will be there to support you. We were out of town. Otherwise, I'd been there cleaning pheasants like I was last year.
We had the shoot this year on Glenn Hawes' place at the Stillwater Sportsman's Club, which worked out really well. So we were able to host some veterans that weren't as mobile as we may need to be if they were out in the field. But it worked out really well, and we'd like to do it the same place again next year.
Well, I tell you what, we'll do anything we can to help you with that, for
all right.
Sure.
Thank you, Mike.
So I don't want if you can do anything to lower my PG&E rates, I'd appreciate that, too.
Well, you know what? PG&E is shutting down an existing facility. It's been around for 105 years that provides power out here, I think.
What, Clark Powerhouse?
Yeah, the Clark Powerhouse.
They're working hard
down
to keep that alive.
So probably you'll end up getting a little bit higher rates this year.
Oh, thank
Mike.
You. I appreciate that.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you know, it's we're getting close to a break here, but one of the things I want to talk to you about, Patrick, is what's the city doing to bring in more funding? I mean, is there anything that's in the works that we're bringing in business and bringing in, you know, some kind of idea to bring more revenue to us instead of watching it shrink away?
Absolutely. There's a couple things that are on the horizon right now. And of course, everybody knows about Stillwater, and I've had my doubts about Stillwater, but the city is moving forward on Stillwater. And, you know, that phase one is nearing its completion here fairly soon, and that has some possibilities. It's just a really tough economic time right now, and it's going to be tough to lure jobs here. The other bright spot that I'm trying to push hard on right now is to get the infrastructure necessary to move Oasis Road forward, and I think there's a lot of support from council on this. And that is the last spot in our town of large area that is on I-5 that has some really good promise. And so we're going to, I think this year, in this new year of 09, I think you're going to see some good progress in this area.
All right. Thanks. You're listening to Vice Mayor Patrick Jones, and this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio here, News Talk 1400 KQMS. 40 degrees out now. The time is 8:39. We're taking a break, and we'll see you on the other side. Hey, welcome back. It's 40 degrees again. The time is 8:44. You're listening to Vice Mayor Patrick Jones. Hey, if you're looking in the paper today, and if you haven't seen the paper yet, we want to give a shout out and congratulations to Doug LaMalfa. He has been a wonderful assemblyman, and he's received I got to put my glasses on. Sorry. He has received an award, and he's been named Legislator of the Year in October by the California State Grange. The organization works to educate the public on issues regarding modern agricultural methods, promotes proper use of natural resources and the environment, and assists in protecting property rights of California residents. So, Doug, if you're listening, congratulations.
Yeah, Doug's always been there if we needed to get some information about what's going on in the legislature. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning.
You're on.
Oh, well, great. Just a couple of questions there for Patrick. Who handles all the real estate for the city of Reading?
Well,
and how much is this is available or could be available, and what is the evaluation of it that they might want to entertain the idea of selling off some of this, get out of the real estate business and back in to build a police station business?
Well, we trust me, we have identified a variety of different pieces of property, but nothing is selling right now. That is the problem. We're in a down economy. Unless we want to give that property away, we're not going to make anything on it. And so we have identified quite a few pieces of property that we have put up on a surplus property list, and that's available. In fact, I suspect if you went to the city's website, you could find it there.
Uh-huh. So
we have a multitude of sites, and many of those are for sale. And the problem is that nobody is buying right now. And, you know, that property is the public's property, if you will. That's your tax dollars at work, and we don't want to give it away at the same time. And but I have already made the suggestion that several pieces of property on the Airport Road that are listed as surplus that had activity on them be made available for the police administration building. And so the problem is they're not selling. And so you can put a number out there, but if nobody's buying, and that's what's happening here, it's a little tough. But, you know, next month we are going to be discussing, I've put on the agenda, the police administration building again, given the fact of the state of the affairs of the city and the state and the nation and cuts that we've had to make. We will be discussing that building here shortly.
And if you did put something together like that, could you earmark that it could only be used to build a police station?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. Well, that would be a relief on that. Does the city pay? Does the city bill the electrical department? Do they have a deal with them for insurance and rental and stuff that the electric department pays back into the general fund $1 million a month?
Well, it's not $1 million a month, but there is what's called an in-lieu fee, and of course that's a topic that could come up for discussion, and that's essentially, if you will, in broad terms, like a property tax that goes back into the general fund to fund things such as roads and police and fire and those things. And I think it's about $4 to $5 million a year is that in-lieu fee.
Uh-huh.
That money could conceivably go back into the utility to stabilize rates. It would leave a $5 million hole in the general fund, and more massive cuts would be on the way to your city services. So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce, I got the phone lines backed up. Thank you so much for your call. Rose, good morning.
Morning, Glory. I wanted to ask, did you hear about Biden?
I'm not sure which one, which part.
Biden. Well, in case you're looking for a late Christmas toy for your kids.
Yeah.
From what I understand, there's a Tickle Me Biden toy. You tickle his tummy,
yeah,
and he talks for 6 hours about Scranton. Got to have a chuckle, right? Merry Christmas to all.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Got to run.
Okay, thank you.
Oh my God.
And you know what I heard was that Biden's Senate seat may be given to his son. Now, and we're going to be this is another subject we could talk about is the coronations of children of famous politicians like Princess Caroline, you know, being anointed in New York. Yeah, you know, the Kennedy girl wanting to be the
anointed
senator. Yeah, because she's from Camelot. She's a princess.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Now, right. You know what? Only reason I'm saying this is that now they're talking about Biden's son being, being made the senator from his home state because he's the vice president. I mean, you know, isn't there anybody else out there besides the children?
We've got another caller. Let's take
that's
another
going
caller.
On. So, you know, I mean, this is something that, you know, that we're going to talk about. It's a national level. We got tomorrow and we got Monday. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning.
Builder. You're talking about the REU and PG&E rates. Hey, there's all kinds of things we can do as homeowners, even renters, and that is take care of the package, the envelope of our houses, add insulation, and do the things that it takes to add equity to our homes. You can save on that just by making the investment in your house.
Absolutely.
That's what we talk about on my radio show, where we're working with REU on all these issues and taking it straight to the building trade.
Absolutely. You know, and we appreciate all that you guys do for us. Just the insulation alone can make a huge difference on your utility bill. And, you know, we appreciate those comments because they're true, and they can certainly reduce your rate by way more than 7%. And that's obviously it does cost a little bit of money to make improvements to your home, but there are a lot of things you can do, and you bring up an excellent point.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Ken. Thanks, Ken, for the phone call.
And the comfort level.
Yeah, we've got to take a hard break here. Thanks a lot, Ken, for your phone call. Hey, you know, some of the things we talked about yesterday was how you can reduce your just by turning down the your hot water heater and a few other things. But of course, caulking the windows and doing the insulation makes a big difference. Now, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. We've got to take a break, so join us on the other side. This is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Okay, what's next on this, Mr. Jones?
Well, you've been wanting to say it, so you might as well say it. There was another topic that happened early in this week, so you might as well say it. Come on. Come on. I know you can.
Is this about the has anything to do with animals here?
Yes.
Is this – Linda, then get the dog of the week out of here.
Well, it's been – like I say, it's been a tough week, and an incident that happened with my father on Sunday morning certainly had the attention of the entire population, it seemed, because it had kind of all the ingredients. It had dogs, which we all love dogs. We're very passionate about our dogs. It had aggressive dogs. It had your right to defend yourself. It had firearms. It had all these issues that are very important to people here in the North State, and I think that's why it got so much attention. And I'd first like to start off by saying that both me and my dad are very much dog lovers. We've owned dogs, and dogs come in and out of the yard all the time, and we've lived in the neighborhood over 30 years, and you know, we regret essentially what's occurred. However, when the difference here is that you had an aggressive dog moving on my 73-year-old father and advancing on him in an aggressive manner. And the fact of the matter is, you have a right to defend yourself. And unfortunate situation that it is, he did what he felt he needed to do. It's unfortunate situation, but it's something that I think is very passionate to a lot of people here in the North State.
Well, I think so, because, you know, if I looked at the blogs, and there was more blogs on this one incident, and in fact, it was on for 2 days. I don't know if it's front page news, as I've said on the show. Whatever happened is, we go back to responsibility. We go back to responsibility for the dog owner, and we go back to responsibility of your father. And nobody knows what happened there. And so, knowing your father, I believe him. However, again, it's responsibility. It's a huge responsibility, one, to carry a weapon. And it's a huge responsibility to discharge a weapon. And that's what we talked about was that responsibility and taking that responsibility.
Well, it is. And, my dad is an NRA certified instructor. This is his life. And, I mean, here's a guy that, has founded a gun shop here in Northern California, who's been an instructor a long time, and he's very passionate about this. And he's never had to discharge his firearm before. But, feeling threatened by an aggressive dog, he did what he felt that he needed to do. And And I believe he was within his right to do that. Unfortunate, again, as it is, nobody wants any dogs to be shot. And you have to keep in mind in this particular yard, you know, it's a half-acre yard. It's, these are big yards here in the city limits. It's the older subdivision. And there's a creek that runs through the middle. And so all kinds of animals are coming up, and all kinds of dogs are coming in and out of up the creek. It's a hard area to fence. And it's no big deal. It's, we all like dogs, and when you have a dog running around, it's not a big deal. But the difference here is we have an aggressive dog, and this is not a normal dog. These dogs have been a menace in the neighborhood. And, you know, for a 73-year-old man defending himself, I think he's within his right to do so. And I know everybody has their opinions on that, but...
Well, I know that, you know, I have a small dog, and when I have walked my dog before, I've been downtown, and I know what it is to have a larger dog come at me. And I just think that, again, it's responsibility, like Carl said. And if you're on your property and you feel a threat to you, I can understand the actions. And it's a scary thing because you don't know the actions of the animal. You don't know.
You know, and again, it goes back to responsibility. Now, first of all, Vice Mayor, thank you so much for coming here.
Thank you guys both for having me, and congratulations on the new show. Everybody loves it.
Well, thanks. You know, tomorrow, of course, we got Free Fire Saturday. Only a couple more weeks of Free Fire Saturday. We're going to be talking credit cards, bankruptcies, and a whole bunch of things tomorrow. Also, the budget. And then Monday, again, Big Three bailout, problems with our budgets here in the state. Tuesday, Councilwoman Missy MacArthur. And Wednesday, we've got Mayor Bassetti and the city manager, Kurt Starman. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?